Hey, it's Kai Rizdahl. Thanks for downloading this special episode of the Corner Office Podcast. This time around, we are going inside an actual rocket factory. We took a quick drive the other day out toward LAX, the airport, to the headquarters in the main factory of SpaceX, the most well-known private rocket company in the world. Elon Musk is, of course, the founder and CEO, but Gwynne Shotwell, the company's chief operating officer, is the one running things day to day. And as you'll hear as we walk through the main factory floor of a rocket factory, let me say that again, things are plenty busy. So here you go, Gwynne Shotwell, the COO of SpaceX.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Tell me what your day is. Honestly. Seriously, what's your day like?
Okay, so I wake up and do email.
Yeah.
Roll over, do email.
What time do you get out of bed in the morning?
It depends. It varies anywhere between 5 and 5:45.
All right.
Then I walk. I do a walk.
Like for exercise?
It's for exercise.
Uh-huh.
Yes. My husband is younger than I am, so I
you
have
gotta,
to make
sure. You got
to
keep up? Is that where we are?
Yeah. Okay, so this is the first time you've been in the factory,
no,
right?
No, I was here with Elon about 6 or 7 years ago, maybe 8 years ago.
Okay,
now.
All right.
But it looks a little different. Well, it does, because, I mean, just looking right up here, there's a flown capsule right there.
I was here
before any of that happened.
Okay.
Right? So this one is special then.
This is the first capsule that we flew, orbited, and re-entered. This is the first time a private company was ever able to do that. And so we have it hanging here on our ceiling. It's like our corporate teddy bear. It's the thing we look to.
It's a little bit like the Air and Space Museum, actually.
A little bit.
Let's slide down this way a little bit. And I want to get back to your day, right? Because, great, you do exercise, and that's all really well and good.
Right.
But you walk in here, you're running a rocket factory, you're running a space program. How do you do what you do is the question, right? What is your job?
My job basically is to solve the problems that people that work for me can't resolve themselves, right? Because everybody, I've got 7,000 people working here that are amazing and awesome and work really hard. And so if there were no issues, then you don't need me, which would be fantastic for the company, actually. But really, my job and Elon's job as well is to guide the folks in their path every day, as well as resolve issues for them that they can't resolve themselves.
What are your biggest problems right now?
You know, actually, things are going quite well. I could talk about challenges. We always have challenges in production. It's always harder to build something or takes longer to build something than you want it to take. So I would say we have challenges in production, but it's really just trying to figure out how to build things more efficiently.
Work the problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
basically,
exactly.
Just work the problem.
Exactly.
I really, really, really don't want to talk about your boss because there's a lot of talk about Elon Musk. But,
yeah, I love my boss, though.
Well, I know you do, and I'll give you the opportunity to say that. But he goes on 60 Minutes last weekend, makes a whole lot of news for whatever. Every time he opens his mouth, he makes news. Here's my question. Does he make your job easier or harder?
I think his job is to make my job harder, candidly, right?
This is so funny. You're like furrowing your brow and thinking about this.
Yeah. Yeah. I've actually never really thought about that. I've never been asked that question specifically. I mean, he's here to push the company in directions that are difficult, of course. Like if you don't hold the standard very high, you're aiming low and you won't achieve the things that we've achieved. So his job is to keep raising the bar or raising the standard and making it harder. That means we have to work smarter and more effectively and better.
Last Elon question. Does he give you cover to do your job? To keep your head down and keep
on plugging? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I would much prefer him doing media than me.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing this then. Thank you for doing this. So show me some more cool stuff.
Okay, so over here we've got the thrust structure integration area. We would put 9 engines on this piece of structure right here. This is a very beefy, robust structure.
Right.
It's because you've got nine engines.
It's probably not steel. It's probably like aluminum and composites and girders.
I believe that's aluminum.
Yeah. We should point out here you're an engineer.
I'm an engineer.
Does that help you do your job running this company?
Absolutely.
How?
Absolutely. Well, I understand better the problems that folks both on the floor and in the engineering teams are feeling. I understand it. It's hard to direct and resolve problems when you don't understand what anyone's talking about. Hmm. But I don't understand all the details.
Well, no.
By the way.
Right.
I don't
understand a lot of how radio gets made.
And okay.
But I know enough to ask the right questions.
Yes.
Talk to me for a second about, for those who might not understand, how does this company make money?
So we sell launch services to commercial customers, to the U.S. Air Force. In fact, I'm quite excited. Our first launch under the ELV program, Evolve Expendable Launch Vehicle program, which is now the National Security Space Launch, because we're part of it, and we don't fly expendable vehicles very often. So, so selling to commercial launch, to commercial telecom operators, satellite companies, telecom operators, the U.S. Air Force, NASA. Right. NASA is our largest customer.
Huge first mover advantage in this space, right? You guys have been doing this for a while.
We have, but we are certainly not the first.
No, but you're now the sort of the biggest private company doing this. Right?
We are the biggest private company doing this.
How worried are you then about competition?
So one should always be aware of competition. I don't know if worried's the right word, but you should always be aware of your competition. In fact, I think Boeing and Lockheed dismissed the competition that we could provide a decade or so ago. I think they thought we would never make it. Because, by the way, most companies that operate in this space, no pun intended, don't make it. Right. They dismissed us, and to their misfortune, actually.
And now their regret.
You should ask them.
Fair enough.
So here's an upper stage engine. This is a Merlin upper stage engine. You saw one hanging from the ceiling back there. Here's one in process, getting built.
It blows me away that you guys are building rocket engines. I just think
Hawthorne,
that's so cool.
California.
Right? I mean, you drive by on the 105 and you're like, oh, what is that?
Yeah, it's a rocket factory.
God.
And a spaceship factory.
Right.
In
let's come up here and
look at the spaceship. So this is a clean room. This is officially
this is
a clean room.
Right.
People that go in there have to get geared up. They have to wear special suits to protect these fragile, well, sort of fragile. Some of the elements
except
are fragile,
going into
some
space,
are not.
Right? Yeah.
But that capsule that you see right there that's in the process of getting integrated is the Commercial Crew Demo 2 Dragon. So that will be the first spacecraft to fly people since Atlantis flew in July or August of 2011.
Should space be privatized?
I think where space is right now, where there are public-private partnerships, I think that's the best way to make tremendous progress in space. The government has huge resources and certainly a lot of know-how. And so for private, entrepreneurial, fast-moving companies to partner with government partners, I think is the strongest way to make progress in space. So I don't think it needs to be privatized. I think it needs to be made available to more. I want to see more enterprise in space and not just launching satellites. I think a lot of cool things can get done, and certainly it opens the gate to humanity moving to other planets.
Which is
why
your
we're
boss's
here.
Stated goal, right? I mean,
correct. Yeah. That's why he founded the company.
Right. But private companies doing this, with so far your main revenue stream being rocket launches and launch services, when something goes wrong, when you have a mishap like you had a couple of years ago, when you have one of your reusable boosters land in the water the other day, like it clearly wasn't supposed to do.
It wasn't. It actually, given the fact that it was not behaving properly, it did exactly what it was supposed to do, though. Didn't hurt anybody, didn't come to land. It landed in the water safely.
Absolutely.
So it did exactly what it was supposed to do.
But when you as the boss lady see that happening, are millions of dollars running through your mind? Because that's, you know,
not that one, actually. We're going to pull. We actually got it out of the water.
Yep.
We're taking a look at it. We're going to see whether we can refly that. These are pretty robust machines, by the way. Think about an aircraft flying through thunderstorms, flying through lightning, flying through snowstorms. Those are robust machines.
Right.
Rockets are pretty robust machines as well. So this one we'll see. We're going to try to refly that one.
All right. When are we going to have people on one of these things?
So we're going to fly this capsule mid-year, 2019.
You sound pretty confident.
Yeah, I'm always confident. Doesn't mean I'm always right.
What's your biggest nightmare? What's your biggest worry?
Having an anomaly during ascent on the rocket. So when we bring a rocket back, that's kind of a bonus for us. It certainly saves us money moving towards the next launch to be able to refly it. But I really don't want to disappoint customers. And that's what happens, obviously, if you have a failure during launch.
It's interesting, actually. I mean, clearly you're a manufacturing enterprise and you're an industrial company, but you're also a services company. You're also a services provider.
That's correct. We actually are a launch services provider.
Right. Literally services.
Yes. Delivery to orbit.
Right.
Not quite same day. Well, I guess we launch, it's same day.
Yeah, same day. You know, it takes a couple of days to track them down. But so in 10 years, where is this company?
We are taking people regularly to and from Mars.
Oh, 10 years, cut it out.
Yes. Yes.
No way.
Yes. Yes.
All right, we're coming back in 10 years.
10 years. Yes.
Seriously?
I do. I believe that. That one, 10 years feels like eternity. So let's talk about Falcon 9. We started the development of Falcon 9 in 2006. We flew it for the first time in 2010. We started the capsule program, same time frame. We flew the capsule in 2010, that one that you saw flying there. We actually birthed it with the International Space Station in 2012, less than 6 years from when we started. And that was when we hardly, we had a company, but it was a little company.
Yeah.
We didn't have this facility. We had a smaller facility, so we had less people, smaller facility. We had to move here and build up our infrastructure. So I think we will have a machine that certainly is capable of taking people to Mars and back in 10 years. No program that we've worked on has taken 10 years.
It's an interesting insight into how you think about time, right? And how you think about timelines.
Yes. 10 years is an eternity. We've only been in business for 16. And what have we done in 16 years? We've flown 65 times, flew a Falcon Heavy, 16 missions to the International Space Station, developed a crew capsule that we're about ready to fly here. We'll have a dry dress rehearsal right before Christmas. We should fly it a couple weeks later in January.
Wow.
All that in 16 years. So 10 years with this momentum, that's very achievable.
We had you on 4 or 5 years ago, I guess, on this program. And one of the things I asked you was, would you go to Mars on one of your rockets? And you said, yeah, absolutely. It'd be rough at first, but I'd go. You still go?
I would go to space. So I've learned more about Mars. And it's going to be like extreme camping. I'm not saying I wouldn't go. I'd like to go when it was nice. Because I'm not really a camper.
Get out and take your morning walk.
So I'm certainly not afraid to go to space. In fact, I would love to fly in this capsule. I would love to go to space station. I'd love to go to space and look back at the Earth. Kind of get a closer glimpse of Mars.
In your lifetime, is it going to be commonplace for regular people to go to space?
I think so, yes. The economics we have to get right on that. Doing it is different from doing it
affordably.
Affordably.
Yeah.
But I think so.
At some point, you're going to need access to the capital markets, right?
We do have access now.
Well, right.
I mean, recently did a little bit of debt.
Right. But the specific question is going public and what your thought process is on that.
Yeah, so capital markets don't respond well to plowing your entire revenue stream back into your technology.
Right.
So I think as long as we want to spend all the money we earn on making our technology better and pushing it further, I think we'll stay private.
There you go.
I think Elon has said, believes that when we are taking people regularly back and forth to Mars, that would be the time to go public, if then.
So within 10 years?
Roughly 10 years.
Gwen, thanks a lot. Appreciate your time.
Of course. My pleasure. Nice to see you again.
I would, by the way, totally go to space if given the chance. The Corner Office Podcast is produced by Daisy Palacios. This one with help from Sean McHenry. Nancy Fargali is the executive producer of Marketplace. Itar Nieves is the executive director of On Demand. Deborah Clark is our senior vice president and general manager. Oh, and look, since it's that time of year, if there's somebody in your life who hasn't listened to this podcast yet, well, you know, share it with them. It's time. Giving, right? Thanks again for listening. We'll have another episode in a couple of weeks.